Good morning. Such a joy to be able to come here to the new year and to be with you, my brothers and sisters, as we go into God's Word, not just Sunday by Sunday, but I like us to take a look at the bigger picture of where we are going with regards to heeding His Word and seeking His will from the pulpit to the pews to the people in our communities. And I hope that this quarter you will be enriched, not just in head. I pray that it will cause your heart to be transformed. I hope your hands will be ready to move. And I pray that in all this, we will truly gem. We will get everyone moving. Next slide, please. For the month of January, we are talking, it is Missions Month, and the theme of Missions Month is Go. We appreciate the contributions and donations that has been given to missions every year. This church is known very much so to be faithful for the giving and the equipping and the giving and equipping of missions. But now this year, I challenge us to go. Go to one of the any ministries and missions that we are seeking, that we're seeking to help and partnership. It can be as near as around the corner here in Petaling Jaya and Shah Alam. It can be as far as up north over in Perak or in Sabah and Sarawak. And if you're bold enough, go on with us to Indonesia or to Nepal, where I can bet you will see God's marvelous work. So for the next few weeks, we'll be talking about how then we should go. Go as an individual. Go whether we should be going as a full-time minister or missionary, or maybe we should be supportive to the local church to support God's bigger mission. And then we should ask the question, when is missions ever done? When are we ever done with missions? I like to see how the topics of the messages in the next few weeks is very consistent with the Great Commission. To go, therefore, to make disciples, to baptize them and teach them, which is the regular ordinance of the church. And we can see God going with us until the very end of the age. All this is very consistent with our church vision and mission to be a loving and caring church that glorifies God in evangelism and disciple making. So this month, my challenge to you is go. Go. In the next few months, for February and March, during the season of Lent, it will always be a time where people will be asking more, a bit more about Jesus. And so, as an encouragement for you to do a few things, number one is pray for the preachers as we give a defense of Jesus every week from the pulpit. Pray also for yourselves, that maybe we can think a bit deeper, or what does it mean for Jesus to be King, our High Priest, our God, our Messiah, our true teacher, and can He really beat the enemies of the evil one in this world, even when we see so much evil already? And pray also for the people that you know that would appreciate perhaps a deeper answer or more precise discussion about who Jesus is and how we should take Him seriously. So, Jem, think about this, yeah? Think about who might you want to invite to hear this message, to hear these messages, so that they may know Jesus more deeply. Once a month, next slide, we will also be going through a topical, and I would like to challenge us, we in the public committee like to challenge the vision of what does it mean to be a gospel community. So if you like to have a bit of a cheat sheet, there's a book out there by Mark Dever, and it's called The Compelling Community. Last year, we had a conference led by him. He came to Malaysia, and he talked about the gospel community. And so we in the pulpit would like to challenge us as a church, what does it mean to be a gospel community in PJ, and indeed for Pantai Baptist Church in the Greater Klang Valley. Yeah, if you like a copy of this book, yeah, next week I will have an order form out for the church. Anyone who would like to order through us, they'll be given to you at a special price. Yeah, So go ahead and take a look at this. Let's think deeply on how we should be a church that impacts the community in the Klang Valley for the gospel of Christ. Now, on to the message today. Next slide, please. Missions Month, so let's go. Go should be the regular verb for missions. Now, anybody here who's a grammar Nazi? Anybody here who is a very strict grammar? Is there something wrong with this slide? English teachers? There's something wrong. I purposely mean it. There's something wrong with it. Is go a regular verb? No. For those who, okay, I can see the English teachers here. No, you're right. Go is an irregular verb. What does that mean? An irregular verb is a verb that does not follow the regular word, the regular rules for verbs, which is if the present tense is, like for example, live, the past tense is just lived at an ED, right? So if it is, what's another word that's a regular verb, right? If it's love, past tense, loved. Go, on the other hand, is went. So go may be an irregular verb of the English language, but I challenge you as you read the scriptures, as you say that we are disciples of Jesus, go is the verb we regularly use as a Christian, as a mission supporting church, as a missionary at heart. Each and every one of us here, my dear brothers and sisters, are called to the mission of God. Now, does that make you a full-time missionary? No. But it does mean that mission should be very much part and parcel of your life as a disciple of Jesus. My question to you today, brothers and sisters, is where are you going? Last year, right? Normally we have resolutions. I want to lose 20 kilos. End of the year, I want to gain 2 kilos, pass. You know, I want to eat less. You change it, I want to eat, done. But for the Christian disciple, as we are given a new year, in fact, every day when we're given a new day, it is a gift of grace from God to go. But my question is, friends, are we mindful to where we are going for the mission of God in our everyday lives? I suggest three goals from Abraham. God gave to Abraham three goals. And before I go any further, let me read to you the text for the day. Taken from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Short passage, but I believe it has very deep application for each of us. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. This is the word of the Lord. Almighty God, we give you praise for your word. We ask as we continue to journey in it, we ask that you will mold us more and more and make us into the image of your Son. We ask that your Holy Spirit will teach us not only to keep it in memory in our minds, but to be used as transformative power in our hearts, that we may live out the life that you are calling us to be, to go as your disciple. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go. So the first go that God told Abraham is go from. Yeah, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So we see three goes from that God had told Abraham to do. Abraham had to go from his country, his extended family, and his father's house. We can learn more about him in that respect in just the passage above, before Genesis 12, and that is from chapter 11, verse 27 to 32. I'm not going to get into great detail. I'll just surmise it in this way. Abraham did not come from thin air. Abraham came from a family of Terah that came, that is part of the tribe of Ur. Ur is a Mesopotamian old culture, and there are archaeological finds of that era still being uncovered today. It is a very well-established subculture in Mesopotamia, and at that area, they worship a god of the moon called Nana. So when God, Yahweh, called Abraham to go, the first thing that he had told Abraham to do is, Abraham, you need to go from your country, your family, and your father's house. What is that? Why is that so significant? Well, for us individually, we will know that to go from our country is to go from our culture. To no longer associate ourselves as those from that previous culture. We have to go from extended family. If we migrate, you know, thankfully nowadays, I noticed that a lot of grandmothers here who's willing to take the flight over, whether it be to Australia, America, or UK to help with babysitting during the summer or Christmas holidays. But in those days, cannot. There was no Boeing 777 to send extended families anywhere so fast. So to leave the tribe is to leave the family and is to leave that earthly or extended support. And to leave his father's house is to leave his identity. The Arabic or the Mesopotamian culture is that they don't have family clan names, but they take the name of their father as their last name, even among the Islamic and Malay culture, right? Zulkifli ibn Zainuddin, right, for example. So bin. So for Abraham to leave his family in that way, it is to therefore leave part of his identity, no longer associated with Terah. Now, why leave Terah? Why leave Ur? Because as we know, ancient cultures are steeped in religious belief. They are steeped in their animistic or paganistic or even legends and deity mythical cultures, which is associated to their identity. So when God called Abraham to leave the culture, to leave the family, to leave the father's house, God told Abraham to do this because Abraham needed to re-identify himself in the Lord. And we get this quite regularly, even in our culture today, right? So for example, in our culture, Chinese New Year around the corner, right? We wear red. Why? Now, of course, we can go straight to say, oh, it's a symbol of prosperity, it's a symbol for happiness, and so on and so forth. But we have legends behind it, right? We wear red to ward off demons. Whoa, that's quite a twist. But it is in one of our Chinese legends. Right? We don't take that too seriously, but in those days they do. Okay? Even when we are involving our grandparents, for those who are not believers, to be part of the confinement period or the full moon festival or the first 100-day festivals, so many bantang, the new mother cannot do. Cannot wash your hair. You know? Must wear thick clothing, must drink Benedictine Dome, bring up the heat in your body. It's culture, it will come out one. You know, for the ancient deities, when a baby is born, it's quite normal for the child to be offered into the temple of their gods. And it'll still be intertwined in Abraham's old culture. And no matter what, as long as Abraham is remembered to be the son of Terah, the son of Ur, or of the tribe of Ur, he will always be associated, oh, you're from Ur, so Nana is your God. So God is calling him to turn away from that, go from that, so that I may be your true new identity. Friends, even for those of us here, for us to go to Christ, we had to come from somewhere. And we may come from the diversity of cultures. And by the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, we have found ways that we can associate or even keep some of our cultures together to glorify God rather than just dropping it like a hot potato and say, okay, we can't do that anymore. But I tell you this, there is a culture that we all run away from, that we all go from, in order to go to God, and that is idolatry. Not just sin. Sin is a very big and generic word. But the root of all things, of all our sin, is actually, in fact, idolatry. When we turn away from the things of God and into becoming things that are not God, but we desire and love so much. So here's a question for us, brothers and sisters. What comforts are you willing to give up for God's call to go? Your idol may not be as straightforward as a calf, like in Exodus, but it might be some things like pleasure, approval, money, power, self, success. I like that how success is on the rump steak of that diagram. We may not call our idols by God names, but we do have idols in our own comfort. Two challenges for you. Just as you take a stock check for the new year, take also a stock check in your little space in your heart that is meant for God and ask yourself what idol might be there that you should leave behind. Second challenge for you is go on a mission trip and you can really see what you can live without. Go on a mission trip and you can find out what you can live without and you can help others to also go from there. Very real still, idolatry may be in their ancient culture or even in the things of the modern world. You help them go away from those idols and go to God just like you have done before. How to find out if you are cut out for missions? Very simple. Go on one mission trip and you will find out. I remember very fondly of an elder of another church. He's a doctor. And he had thought maybe he'll be a field missions doctor. So he decided to try it out. He went into Thailand under a missions organization to be a field doctor. He's supposed to sign up and help for 3 months In the end, he only survived 2 weeks. He came back and said, "I realized that I can't do that kind of field work, but I can still be used for God's glory." He's an elder of the church, good preacher. He still does his profession, and he gives very, very much to the mission work of God. And through him and through his church, the kingdom of God is being extended out. So friends, for each and every one of us, missions may be different. Not all of us are called into pickup trucks and Hiluxes to go into the interior. Maybe some of us are just called to drive down the federal highway and help a migrant church community. You want to see the length and breadth of what we can do? Make an appointment with Sister Yutai and any member of the mission board that you know, that we can inspire you and see what we can do for missions. But bottom line is, friends, when you go on a mission trip, you can realize, God, I realize that some of these things, I depend a bit too much. Maybe I depend too much on 4G Wi-Fi. Maybe I depend too much on my smartphone. Maybe I depend too much on being entertained all the time. I promise you, you go into the jungles, you'll be lucky enough to find any satellite coverage. And in that time, you realize, God, this is something I can go from. And the further I go from that, maybe the closer I can go to you. So we can go from, and now we can go to. Abraham was told to go to somewhere, right? We see in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land I will show you. Here's the interesting thing about God telling Abraham to go to. Abraham was going to a place where he did not know, and the place God did not tell him. So at the end of the day, he had to trust God to lead him through the journey. You know? If Abraham was one of those traveling buddies that needs an itinerary and knowing every detail and budget breakdown on what to do for a holiday, he will not be able to respond to this call. And for all you know, he might have been. But somehow or another, God called him not to anywhere in particular. As you see later in Genesis 12, all the way through. And truly, that is the narrative of the people of Israel, of the people of the Old Testament, and of the people of Jesus. We do not really know where to go exactly, but we do know the person who is telling us where to go. And that is more important. That is why in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham is known as the great man of faith. Why? Because by faith, when called to a place, I've realized the font is too small, so let me read here. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went without knowing where he was going. The emphasis there, therefore, is that we may not know where we are going, that he may not know where he is going exactly. In fact, Abraham never saw the formation of the nation of Israel, but he did see the formation of God in his life, turning his name from Abram to Abraham, which means to go from the culture of Ur, finally, as a culture of Ur to being from Abram, to finally be called Abraham, to be one with God, is therefore the formation of God in his life. Here's a question for you, brothers and sisters. Who is leading your life? And how much do you trust him? Do we really know what is coming tomorrow? Do we really know where can we truly go in our lives? If you were to take a stock check of where you are today, compared to your ambition, remember when we were in primary school, we were told, you know, what ambition might you want to be? And some might say a politician, policeman, fireman, ambulance, doctor, lawyer, juruterer, engineer. Truly, some of us might never have gone to the ambition that we set first, or we have eventually, but not in a journey that we could ever dream or imagine. We may not know where we are going in life, but we can go to the one who has gone before us. I remember one time I got lost in the jungle in Sabah. After 7:30 p.m., my dear friends, in the back hills of Kundasang, there is no traffic light, there's no street lamp. It is so dark, you cannot see the hand in front of you. And so I remembered I forgot something in the transporter's car, so I had to go back and get it. And after I got it, one of the ketua kampung, the village head, actually told me, Pastor, I will go with you. But I said, no, don't worry, brother, I will go. I remember where to go. I'll remember to just turn around and go back the same way. Right? So I went about 7 p.m. And by the time I sat down and talked with the driver and found the thing that I needed and brought it with me, it was 7:30 and was pitch black. But I said, no worries, I'll just go back the way I came from. So I went over the bridge, I made a left, and I followed the road straight. But I walked and walked and walked and walked for 30 minutes more than it took me to actually get to wherever I need to be, and confoundedly, I was definitely lost. Thankfully, the Ketua Kampung did know that I'm still a city boy, and so after 30 minutes, he said, hey, this pastor's lost, I better go find him. So he got on his motorcycle, he got his motorcycle and started riding around to find me. He found me and he asked me, wow, pastor, how long did it take for you to get here? I said, it took me about 30 minutes. I said, you know how far away are you from the village? I'm like, I thought I went the right way, right? So it turns out that part of the road is just one radian. I went on a fork in the road, and instead of going left, I went right. And the turning was so little at first that it didn't look much. And I thought it felt like I was going the same direction as before. But it turns out if I walk for 30 minutes, even 1 degree away from where I'm supposed to be, I confoundedly miss the entire village. They say, Pastor, if you go any further, you will be at the place where tigers live. I'm like, oh, I'm thankful that the village head came and found me. Oftentimes, we don't know, if we were to be honest with ourselves, we don't know where we're going with our lives. We may have an idea, but oftentimes it will go off tangent a bit here and there. My challenge to you, my dear friends, is allow God to be your radius point and be so familiar as to where He's at, so that no matter where you are lost in life, you can still turn to Him. Jesus gave this to give us great encouragement and confidence. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. As we follow Him, we go to the one who has gone before. And that's why for those of us who are lost, we then can be found in Him. Friends, go on a mission trip and get lost. Maybe not as bad as me, but go to an environment where you thought, oh, I've never been. Sure, many of us have gone to Thailand, but when we say Thailand, you think of Bangkok, Phuket, Chiang Mai, Chiang Rai, beaches, sunny areas, cheap food, knockoff things to buy at the Golden Paragon Mall. Why not this time you go to Sabah, Sarawak? But instead of going to Kuching, you follow us into a space that you've never been before. And maybe then you come to know more about God, about the God that you want, that we are going to. The mission trips, therefore, is as much as a blessing to you as it is to the people that you are going to serve. And finally, go with. With the going to a place that Abraham never knew, God said this to him, go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, there are whole commentaries to discuss this passage alone, but I'm not going to do that. Bottom line is, every bit here which God is saying, God, Abraham, I will make you, tells actually much more about the God Himself than the blessing that He's going to do. Let me repeat that. When God gives a blessing to Abraham, He's not just enabling Abraham to go, but it's also enabling Abraham to know the God that he's going with. In doing so, Abraham found out that he is going with the God who promised to provide. I will bless you and make your name great. I'll make you into a great nation, meaning there's abundance, there's enough, and you will be, and I will bless you. The God who promised to protect, I will make your name great, you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. What does that mean? Abraham, I got your back. And finally, through you, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. How is God going to keep that promise? The first part, sure. You know, maybe through Abraham and through influence and business interaction, and when God shows himself in a very powerful way, you will see this in the journey of Abraham. You know, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. The name of Abraham, until today, is revered as the name from which the great faiths of the world have come from. It doesn't say much about Abraham, but it says a lot about the God who Abraham serves. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. We can see that in record in Genesis when he went to Egypt. The Pharaoh wanted his wife as his own, but God protected them. He is just his own family. He only had Lot, and it's only for a short while to go into the great wilderness of the Middle East, and yet God kept and maintained him throughout the book of Genesis. But there's also a part there where it says God keeps his promise. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you, is in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. How would he do that? Well, he did that in two occasions. On one occasion, God showed himself to be the one who will provide the sacrifice for the world. When God told Abraham first to go and take his son Isaac, whom he loved, to be a sacrifice, but as Abraham went by faith, before he put the knife through, the angel of the Lord said, stop. And there was a ram in the corner there that was stuck in the bush. Abraham used that as a sacrifice instead. What that means is, God provided. And finally, how will the peoples on earth will be blessed through Abraham? The peoples on the earth will be blessed by Abraham, by the God, by the one who will say that he is of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and ultimately in the person that is Jesus of Nazareth. Through the name of Jesus, the world has been blessed to be reconciled back with God. And that is the mission of every disciple of Jesus in our lives. Friends, I challenge you to go into this mission trip, to go into the mission of your life, and bring God with you. Oftentimes, when we think of mission trip, we are very organized people. We tend to say, okay, we will have our first meeting, second meeting, third meeting. On our first meeting, we'll talk about logistics. On the second meeting, we'll talk about itinerary. On the third meeting, we'll talk about where do you want to go to makan after the mission trip. Repent, yeah? But in all those discussions, go and do it with God in mind. Because in the end of the day, the mission trip is not for the activity. The mission trip is for the people that we want to help know the gospel. Now, some of you may say, God, say, Mark, will we really sense on how can I sense and know that God is with us when we go? Well, we have his promise, right? Next slide. In the last part of the Great Commission, we cannot do the mission of God without this last phrase. Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 and verses 19, we know this well. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things I've commanded you. We would not have been able to do this unless God went with us. And this is his promise verse. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Friends, if you go on a mission trip, I bet you will sense and witness how much God is with you when you're in that challenge, in that challenging mission. And when you are used to that, when you realize and witness that, you will inevitably witness God with you even in your everyday lives. Even in times where you feel left out, I'm very confident God continues to be with you. Hien Pham was a Vietnamese in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. He was very good in the English language, and so he worked with the American soldiers for translation, but that also got him to interact with a lot of American Christian missionaries. And as he also translated the messages of these missionaries, he too came to know Christ and became a follower of Jesus, even into the very deeper jungles of Vietnam. As Vietnam was taken over by the Viet Cong, he was captured, and because of his association with American soldiers and American missionaries, he was sentenced to a concentration camp for 2 years. In that camp for 2 years, he was given books about Lenin and Marx and all of the propaganda that was used during that time. His Bible, his commentary, his sermon notes was all taken away from him, and they tried to brainwash him into the new regime of the day. And so there was a time where he was so down, and he cried out with great sadness and depression, saying, God, where are you? Believe it or not, God answered him in the prison warden's toilet. Now, in those days, the toilet was not a flushing toilet. It was a bakul. I think some of us have lived in houses like that before, right? There's a bakul where you do your business there, right? In those days also, toilet paper was a relatively new technology. So they were still using paper or something soft to wipe their, right? And they throw it in the bucket. And Hien was given the job to clean up the bakul every time. As he was picking out and doing what he would normally do, which is to clear the bucket, that piece of paper caught a glimpse. He caught a glimpse of a piece of paper, and it looked very familiar. It was not in Vietnamese, it was in English. And he read this passage. He says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. The prison warden was using pages of the Bible as toilet paper and putting it in the bucket. As soon as Hien saw that page, he took it out, carefully washed off all the stuff, and read it. And in that became the confidence that he has to know that even though he seems so far away from everyone, God continues to be with him. And so every day for those 2 years, he volunteered to clean up all the bakul so that he may find more pages of the Bible and that they had been using for toilet paper, and they started to read and memorize. 2 years came and went, and he and 53 others were planning to escape Vietnam. They were building a boat, they were having the regime and strategy all done out. Suddenly, three soldiers went up to him and cornered him and says, are you planning to escape Vietnam? Now, in his heart, because he felt the presence of God with him in the prison camp, and he thought he can just lie to him, oh no, not me, I'm not doing that. For some reason or another, the presence of God went on his shoulders and says, Hien, you should tell the truth. And so he did. He says, yes, me and 53 others want to go and escape Vietnam. Do you want to arrest us? The three soldiers says, no, we want to go with you. Thanks to those three soldiers and their training, they were able to escape Vietnam. If those three soldiers were not there, they would not have the strength and training to be able to overcome that vicious storm to leave Vietnam out down the South China Sea into Thailand. how God provides so long as we recognize He is going with us. My dear friends, this Jesus who went first to the cross, who went out of the grave, from the grave to the resurrection, to the new life, is asking us to go with Him. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, so that as I go with Him in suffering and even in death, I will go with Him in the resurrection. So let me close with Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. The first part is, it's so simple. It's summarized in this way. And then Abraham went where the Lord took him. My dear friends, my challenge to you is this. Abraham went. Now will you go? When we go from the things that we take so much comfort and security with, when we go to that place where God is calling us to be, we will sense God being with us every step of the way. And that is a life worth living and going in Christ. We will then truly see what it means when Jesus said, remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So let us go, that the people of the land and the nations may praise Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You went. You went to the cross. You went to the tomb. You went from the tomb. And You went to the place where we will all be by faith in You. Thank You, Lord, that You called Abraham to go. And from the going of Abraham began the unfolding of Your gracious and salvific work. From Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Joseph and Moses, to David, to finally the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, through whom all nations will be blessed. Father, I pray among us today, as a response, we're not calling for to raise hands or anything like that, but two things I would like to challenge you to do. One is that if you're not a Christian yet, would you please talk to the friend that invited you and says, I want to know more about Jesus. And he will introduce you to our platform called Christianity Explored, where we can have a safe and open space to know more about the God whom we serve. And for those of us here who have been supportive of the mission work of the church, and for those of us who are even new to the PBC family, maybe it's time for us to go again or to go for the first time to the cause which God has called His PBC family to be. Lord, we pray that through Your Holy Spirit that You will speak to us. Just as You spoke to Abraham to go away from our comforts to wherever You want us to be. We may not see the picture in whole, but Lord, as long as we know that we're going with You, everything will be okay. We pray that God, that through that mission experience, we may truly help the peoples praise You and that the nations be glad in knowing that truly the Lord our God reigns. So use us, O Lord, to be Your mission's tool. In Jesus' name, amen.